You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to part two in our ongoing series on asset protection. Asset is what's valuable, that you own, that is worth money, can be traded, things that people must have. And you want to protect your assets. Most people do not. Why don't they? Well, there are several reasons, folks. Number one, they're ignorant. Ignorant is not an insult. It just means that you are, or whoever it applies to, is without knowledge. Without knowledge. Without knowledge means does not have the necessary information in order to be able to do something. That's called ignorance. Once presented with the knowledge, and so they know it, many people will practice what is called denial. In other words, they don't want to know it. They'll pretend they never heard it. They will deny that it is true, even though they've never looked it up or checked, simply because they're afraid, scared to death in most instances, that if they go against what has been accepted by the majority, just like in high school, that they will either be ostracized, or persecuted, or arrested, or some terrible thing that exists within their mind. And so they do nothing. The other category is just plain stupid. People who have been given the information, they know that it's true, but, oh, it can't happen to me. Oh, gee, it can't happen in America. Oh, golly, I got plenty of time to do that, but they never do it. That class of people falls into the category of stupid. 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 Absolutely, incredibly stupid. And then there is the category of people who want to know, who want to live within the law, who want to protect their assets, and who aren't afraid to do it because they know that their posterity, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren depend upon them doing the right thing in order that they might have a future. You see, that's what our founding fathers did, the ones who created this nation. They were willing to die for their posterity. What are you willing to die for? Chances are most people aren't willing to die for very much of anything. Would rather be slaves, persecuted, whipped, rather than stand up and take a chance on dying. That's the herd mentality. And a lot of other things that we won't go into. So, folks, don't fall in to the category of those who are afraid. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will enslave you. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing necessary to prevent us from allowing ourselves to be eaten. And so if we use fear for what it was intended, it's not to paralyze and enslave us, but to motivate us to act, then fear can be a good thing. Okay? Pay close attention tonight. You're going to get some powerful information.
I don't know, but I think it'll get darker before it gets lighter.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat straw?
Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers?
And bears.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Which one are you afraid? I'd fight you both again if you were. I'd fight you with one paw tied behind my back. I'd fight you standing on one foot. I'd fight you with my eyes closed. Oh, pulling an axe on me, eh? Sneaking up on me, eh? Why?
Here. Go away and let us alone.
Oh, scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can? Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Now, that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes, get up and teach them a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching them?
Well, I hardly know them.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Kiwi.
Shame on you.
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs.
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are. Why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all. I didn't scare myself. Look at the circles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him, too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now to get him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Well, wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Oh, of course not.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life has been simply unbearable.
Oh, well, it's all right now. The wizard will fix everything.
It's been in me so long. I just got to tell you how I feel.
Well, come on.
Yeah, sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine frame. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve. I'm afraid there's no denying I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will serve?
Then I'm sure to get a brain. Aha.
Aha.
The name.
I love it, folks. I love it. What category do you fall into? Well, just sit back, regardless of whatever category it is. Make sure you get your pen and paper with you, because maybe we can change it. Maybe you can get a brain. Maybe you can get a heart. Maybe you can go back home. What do you think? Maybe you can get courage. So, listen to the wizard. That's me, at least for tonight, and for the short foreseeable future. An offshore trust, ladies and gentlemen, is your first line of defense. It used to be that you could have a trust in this country, but now it has reached the point where it is too dangerous to trust your assets to remain in this country and still be safe. The United States of America is quickly becoming Hitler's dream of what he called the New Order of the World, or the Third Reich. In this instance, more correct terminology would be the Fourth Reich. Remember, the best way to protect your assets right now, today, is to never keep your wealth in the country where you live. Because, as I have discussed already, anything can happen, and usually does. And you've seen the trend in Washington, D.C. That is, if you can see, and if you can hear. The answer to this dilemma is an offshore trust coupled with a few other things that I will discuss later. An offshore trust enables you to change the title on your personal or business possessions, including stocks, bonds, real estate, bank accounts, coins, gold, vehicles, boats. In fact, anything which you may own or think that you own, from yourself to the trust. You may use and enjoy the trust property during your lifetime, even though the property is in the trust name. It does not belong to you, and you must become used to the fact that once you do this, you own absolutely nothing. Since the assets are no longer in your name, there is no public record of personal ownership. And there's a few other qualifications. For instance, if you are the settlor of the trust, the IRS is still going to say that it's your property and they're going to try to tax you accordingly. If you are the beneficiary of the trust, the IRS is still going to try to say that it's your property and they're going to try to tax you accordingly. And I'm going to teach you how to get around that legally, lawfully, and constitutionally. According to their own rules. Because most of you just won't play the game any other way. And it is a game, folks. A terrible, terrible, destructive game. But before we explore tax strategies, asset protection, and potential high returns on investments, we must understand how to structure oneself to legally become privatized and conduct personal and business matters in a discreet and very, very safe manner. And the first thing you've got to learn is to shut your mouth. Shut it. Shut your mouth and keep it shut. In order to accomplish these things, you as an individual must become invisible. Don't be like me and get on the radio and tell the world what the truth is. You see, I'm a warrior. Most of you don't have to be until the actual fighting starts, and then you must be, because nothing will protect you then. But until then, you must become invisible. You do this by setting up what is commonly called a pure trust and signing over and placing everything you want protected into this trust, thus keeping you legally separated from those assets and liabilities. Now, you don't just sign them over to the trust, because if they are not placed into the trust in exchange for real value, in other words, what they're really worth, the IRS will say that it's a scam and that they still really belong to you, because you can't sell a house for $10 or give it to somebody just by willing it away. And I'm going to talk about how you do that later, but just keep that in the back of your mind. You set up a pure trust and sign over and place everything you want protected into the trust. I'm going to tell you how you go about doing that so that it's lawfully protected later. But by doing this, you keep yourself legally separated from those assets and the liabilities which they may bring to you. Now, learning about how a pure trust works will give you a better insight on how the rich and politicians have legally and lawfully manipulated their careers and fortunes for decades. This same trust will allow you to do exactly the same thing that they have been doing for centuries. So what exactly is a pure trust? I know that many of you sitting there wondering, what is a pure trust? What the hell is he talking about? A pure trust, ladies and gentlemen, in one, is one. It's a trust in which three parties of the trust, the settlor, the trustee, and the beneficiary, are, in fact, three separate entities. And in fact, could be more than three entities. But these three basic entities, as we're going to discuss, as settlor, trustee, and beneficiary, become one through the trust, thus creating an entity in itself. It's based on what has always been called the common law. And if you think the common law does not apply, if you've heard some federal parrot tell you that, I suggest you read the Constitution for the United States of America, where it clearly talks about common law. This is a pure contractual trust called a declaration of trust. It is recognized by most governments and governmental agencies throughout the entire world. It is a part of the law. Now, one person cannot totally control and hold possessions or assets of the trust. This, in fact, would be a conflict of interest and can destroy the credibility of the trust. And so you must listen to me very carefully. The most important thing to remember is to keep with the form of a pure trust. But let's go a little bit further than that. Let's not just keep with the form of a pure trust. Let's make it a pure trust. You must have the three separate entities holding the three different positions, the settlor, the trustee, and the beneficiary. What makes this pure trust such a powerful instrument? Well, as I have discussed earlier, the reason this trust is so powerful is that it is written under common law as a pure trust, under the right guaranteed by the Constitution to contract. There is no other structure that exists which is more powerful and more flexible for personal or business purposes written under common law. Now, what's the difference between a pure trust and a living trust, which I know most of you have heard about? You hear about living trusts on television, on radio. You may have someone who's related to you who talks about their own living trust. Well, here's the difference. A living trust can be operated by the same person who benefits from the trust structure. And a pure trust And here's the difference. In a pure trust, you cannot do that. There has to be a minimum of three entities: the settlor and the first trustee for the benefit of the beneficiary. If you were found to actually own the assets you were controlling, anyone could pierce that trust. It could be broken. In fact, if they find that you control the assets, even though you don't own them, the trust can be broken. So someone has to make a gift to you of the initial assets in order to establish the pure trust. And I'm telling you, and I'll talk about it later, it's better to sell the assets into the trust for real worth. It makes the trust bulletproof. And I bet you've never heard that from anyone before. But listen to me, and I'll tell you how to do it. After that, the way the trust is written, anyone can donate or sell assets to the trust. And it's always better to sell for real value than to donate. And this is how you can transfer your possessions. So anyone who has set up a living trust with the intention of total protection of assets is going to be very surprised to find out they are at extreme risk and need to immediately set up a pure trust to achieve those goals. In other words, a living trust isn't worth the paper that it's written on. I don't care what your lawyer says. I go by what the courts say. The courts break living trusts every single day. They're not so successful with pure trusts unless you violate the provisions under which they must be established and administered. Is a trust usable in any state or country? In other words, could you establish a trust in a foreign country, and is it lawful? Is it usable? Will it help you? Well, the answer is yes. Not only yes, but hell yes. You can place what is called a situs in any state or country that recognizes common law. The situs is the legal address established under the trust jurisdiction. This becomes the legal address and controls how the trust is treated. It's exactly the same as when you sign a contract with a company and they tell you in the fine print how their state's law takes precedence over any legal matter that may develop. And if you sign it, you're agreeing to that. They're simply stating, folks, the jurisdiction properties of the contract. Remember, a trust is also a contract. So, the best thing that you can possibly do, right off the bat, is pick a tax-free state for your situs. If you are a citizen of the United States of America, or if you are a citizen of one of the several states of the United States of America, and you decide to set up a trust inside the United States of America, or one of the several union states, your trust may be liable for state income tax. In the United States of America, some states do not have state income tax. So if you place your situs in a state such as Nevada, Texas, or Florida that does not have income tax, you may be able to legally avoid those types of taxes. And there's really no maybe about it. You will absolutely be able to avoid those types of taxes for the trust which resides in that particular jurisdiction. Now, this same concept holds true for setting up your situs offshore in a tax-free haven. For instance, and I'm going to talk about this a lot because it's the safest place today, Belize is one of those tax-free havens, and people from the United States of America, as well as other parts of the world, set up trusts in that country by the thousands every single month. You don't have to live there. In fact, if you're the settlor or the beneficiary of the trust, you cannot live there. You're forbidden to live there by law. Now, you know how the rich and famous delayed and avoided their government taxes? They set up international business corporations, and this is the other part of this arrangement. And there's one other thing that we'll talk about before I'm finished. They set up international business corporations and offshore trusts and used those entities to invest back into their country. Now remember, a trust is an entity unto itself, and when set up offshore becomes a non-resident alien of the country it wants to do business in and is exempt from those taxes. So what is an exempt trust? It simply means, ladies and gentlemen, that you are not taxed by Belize on the income that the trust earns. Now let me say that again. The trust resides in Belize, which means that you are not taxed by Belize on the income that the trust earns, because in Belize they do not tax trusts. It's a tax haven. Belize attracts the business of the wealthy people of the world by not taxing them. And so they bring their money to Belize. The trust is also not taxed on capital gains, nor is any duty charged on any estate through the trust. Wow, can you imagine that? How many people die every day whose estate evaporates in probate? When the lawyers and the children and all of these people fight over the assets. That can't happen with a trust. Now, what determines an exempt trust? The settlor, protector, and beneficiary may not be residents of Belize any portion of any calendar year in order to remain an exempt trust. Now, that does not prohibit you from visiting Belize on a vacation, but you must be careful that you do not stay long enough to qualify for resident status. And really, to have a trust domiciled in the country of Belize, you don't ever have to visit Belize if you never want to visit that country anyway. Now, there are several types of trust. And we're going to talk right now about an asset management trust. An asset management trust is designed for personal affairs and is not for business purposes. An asset management trust is designed for personal affairs and is not for business purposes. Although the trust is a separate entity and can own assets on its own, this document specifically prohibits any new business startup by the trust after the date of the trust's inception. It is allowed to operate an existing business that has been transferred to the trust, but only to eventually sell it or close it down and distribute the assets to the beneficiaries at a later date. That later date could be 120 years from now. So don't get confused about all this. Don't think that because that's what has to happen, that it must happen tomorrow. It just must happen eventually within the lifetime of the trust. The purpose of this clause is to prove to any bank that it is strictly a management trust. This type of trust is typically used to hide personal assets such as stocks, bonds, real estate, cars, trucks, boats, yachts, retirement homes, cash, etc. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, when they are transferred to the trust, they are no longer personal assets. You do not own them anymore. The trust does. Now, you'll find that this is one of the slickest of all trusts. It has numerous loophole clauses that allow you to do just about anything you need to do whenever the time is right. But if that's not for business, how can you protect your business assets from financial disaster? Well, you set up a trust immediately. If you're operating without the protection of a trust, you are vulnerable to every type of lawsuit available in your country, wherever you live, whichever country it happens to be. One stupid, frivolous lawsuit could wipe out years of work in a matter of weeks. If you do by not having a trust, So don't delay too long without doing something. Even if you don't do a trust, you got to do something. If you don't get protection, at least get protection in some manner. The best way is an offshore trust. Now, that sounds funny. If you don't get protection in some manner. But it's not. Think about it. There are many ways without getting protection from some other jurisdiction or venue, or without getting protection from a contract, that you can go about protecting your person, your personal assets, and your business. But this is not the forum for those things. We're specifically talking about trusts, IBCs, and later we're going to talk about a foundation. What is a preferred asset holding trust? Ladies and gentlemen, it's commonly called a business trust, like Harvest Trust. It's a separate entity, and it can own and run a business on its own. As with any entity, it can buy and sell property and services. It can be sued, and it can, as with any entity, it can buy and sell property and services. It can be sued, and it can sue others. It can open a bank account and take out loans. It can make a profit, lose money, and it can also go bankrupt. Now, since it is a separate entity unto itself, the managers and trustees of the trust are not personally liable for the misdeeds of the trust. Now, there are exceptions, such as if the manager or trustees have personally guaranteed notes, or break the law where the trust is doing business, or betray the bylaws of the trust. And you must take great pains, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that none of those things ever happen. Now, one of the best things that you have that you can use in your favor is called layering. Now, get ready and pay very close attention, because this is what you have been waiting for. Using the example of the asset management trust, that's the personal trust, and the preferred asset holding trust, that's a business trust, that the rich and the politicians have been using, what is commonly called layering is used to hide their business interests and their money from the public and the government. And what you're about to learn will make and save you thousands of dollars in the years to come. Now, I'm talking in language that you can personally understand, but remember, when I say that it's used to hide someone's business interests and someone's money from the public, the moment that these things are placed in the trust, it is no longer their business interest, and it is no longer their money. I know some of you are sitting there scratching your head, why would I give all my business and my money and my property and my real estate and everything to somebody else? Well, in order for it to be a pure trust, you must. You have to. There are ways in which you can make sure that it's used in the manner that you wish it to be used, and that it's used for the benefit of those whom you wish it to be used for the benefit of. Now, this is commonly called layering. It's commonly called layering. And what you're about to learn will make and save you thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of dollars in the years to come, if you pay attention. And if you can overcome your fear and take the proper steps to make it work. Your objectives and your total assets are what determine how you need to structure and layer the trust. And it's not just the trust that you're going to layer. You're going to layer these trusts in combination with international business corporations, which you will form. You should start with asset management trusts. You should place your high liability assets in one trust, such as cars, trucks, motorhomes, boats. These assets have a tendency to run over people, literally. Blood-sucking lawyers love to do asset searches to find out how much they can make for themselves and their clients by suing you. I know some people who have several trusts that control these assets, and where they may have several of these extreme liability assets, there is only one placed in each trust rather than all of them in one trust. If the car is under a trust name and the trust is not recorded, as I have already told you not to do, you do not ever need to record a trust. It's difficult to find what the trust is worth. And if by chance the trust is sued, they can only take what is in that particular trust and nothing else. And that's why the people that I told you I know about may have six different trusts just for automobiles, boats, RVs, and things of that nature. And in each trust, there's only one of those placed in a trust at a time. Because remember, if the trust is sued, they can take whatever is in that particular trust. Passive assets, such as checking accounts, stocks, bonds, cash, reserves, etc., should be in another trust. Each piece of real estate should be in a separate trust. For instance, if you own three homes, each home should be in its own trust. Real estate has some liability in that someone can fall or be hurt. And keeping each piece of real estate in a separate trust allows a lawyer to only take what that particular trust is worth, or a portion of it. Now here's a valuable tip, ladies and gentlemen. If your real estate has equity, attach a lien, either a first or second, on the real estate by creating an additional trust. It's very easy to do. In the event that the beneficiary becomes insolvent, there is what's called a spendthrift clause. In a spendthrift trust, in a spendthrift trust, or what's called a protective trust, in the event that the beneficiary becomes insolvent or any part of his property becomes liable to seizure or sequestration, which means separated from the trust, for the benefit of his creditors, the trust has the right to minimize the beneficiary's interest in trust funds to a degree necessary to prevent such action from hindering the smooth operation of the trust. It's in the best interest of the assets. Now, this clause, this type of trust, is designed to protect the beneficiary against his own incompetence or inability to properly handle money or property. And that brings up another question that I'm sure you're all asking by now. Who owns all this stuff? Who owns the asset protection trusts? Who owns the property that's in the trust? And the answer, very simply, very clearly, is no one but the trust. The trust owns it. There are beneficiaries, however, typically your children, can be anybody else, but typically your children should be the beneficiaries. And if you don't have children, any relative you can work with directly to support the credibility of the trust. Now, if you don't know who to place as beneficiary, use the same person you would name as an heir in your will, because the purpose is the same. You're preserving your assets for your posterity, whoever that may happen to be. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, is where things can become very interesting. Any legal entity, such as a corporation, charitable organization, limited partnership, or even another trust, can hold the position of either the settlor, the trustee, or the beneficiary. Now remember earlier I told you you're going to operate these and structure them in conjunction with international business corporations. It's called layering. This tactic is used when a person wishes to create multiple layers of protection by establishing more than one trust. And in conjunction, you should establish more than one international business corporation. If you keep with this concept, the more multiple layered trust you can establish, the more protection you have. Establish one or more business trusts, of which it can either be the settlor, trustee, or beneficiary of one or all of the asset management trusts, holding the vehicle, the cash, the stocks, the bonds, the real estate, your clothing, whatever you wish to put in there. Of course, the business trust can run and control your business, and additional business trusts can be established to own and control assets for the business or other businesses which you may be involved in running. Where does a trust get its name? Well, you're free to choose any name you wish, within limitations. Most people use the name that partially describes what they are doing. Or they simply use a name of a city or location and add the extension holding trust or management trust. You may not, listen to me carefully, you may not, however, use one that sounds like a banking or lending institution. You cannot do that. Common knowledge also tells you to stay away from names that could be confused with those that are already protected by a trademark, patent, or copyright. For instance, you would not want to call your trust Coca-Cola Trust. Does the trust have to be registered? Absolutely not. Nowhere. In fact, you should avoid this procedure at all costs. A trust can be legally run without being registered. No one will know who runs the trust if you do not register it. No one will know what's in it unless they take great pains and are really slick. And, of course, if you have a condition commonly known as flap jaw. Flap jaw. You know. You know people like that, don't you? Kids can't wait to tell you every single little detail of their personal life, bank account, work, how much they got paid yesterday, their sex life, their love life, and just about everything else that you can think of. It's called flap jaw. It's a terminal illness that causes lots and lots of trouble. An offshore trust, ladies and gentlemen, has all the advantages of a corporation and absolutely none of the disadvantages. And it can operate anywhere in the world as lawful business. Corporations are taxed on their net profit prior to distribution of dividends. Shareholders are taxed on dividends received. Offshore trusts are only taxed on the profits that are not distributed to the beneficiaries. If all profits are distributed, the trust has no tax liability. So how does the offshore trust compare with the domestic trust? Listen to me carefully. An offshore trust is similar to a domestic trust, except it has several features that are much better. And here are the main differences. Number one, domestic trusts remain vulnerable to creditors. The laws of the country determine what enforcement measures creditors may take. Unlike domestic laws, the laws in offshore havens are always, in every single instance, in favor of the trust, never the creditor. Number two, even if a domestic court compels the settlor or beneficiary to take his or her assets out of the trustee must, by the law of the country where the trust resides, refuse this request, and the laws of that country will enforce his refusal. Number three, The law also compels or authorizes the trustee to relocate the trust to another country if the trust becomes endangered in its present location. Number four, the trustee can alter the rights of any beneficiary under creditor attack to eliminate claims against the trust by that creditor. And number five, a domestic trust in this country today is in extreme danger of being unlawfully broken, dissolved, and having its assets seized by the unconstitutional, outlawed, jackbooted Nazi thugs of the Internal Revenue Service. And you all know it. The law in this country, it appears to me, no longer have any force of law at all. For us, the citizens of the several states, whereas it can be used to full force against us, and they can even make up the law as they go along. They do it every day. Offshore, a trust has no periodic reporting or accounting requirement to any agency whatsoever. It is a lawful person and has the same rights as an individual. It is a lawful contract under common law, and it is not regulated by any statute. So if a trust is so good, ladies and gentlemen, why is it that not everyone has one or uses the trust structure? Well, it's very simple. Most people are ignorant. In fact, if you were to take a toll or a poll of all of the people that you meet every day, you would find that most people have never even heard of it, much less know anything about it. And then there is the fear of deviation from what is normally practiced or acceptable in your community. You see, not everyone understands or can operate a trust. Keep in mind, folks, it does take a degree of finesse and business savvy to understand and remain under the protection of a trust. The average person will not want to devote the time or patience or work to grasp the knowledge and understanding they need in order to work through a trust. Add layering and international business corporations, and the average couch potato will run away from it because it requires some study and some work. And these things, the average American spends a great deal of time avoiding every single day. The average person just does not want to devote the time or patience to grasp the knowledge and understanding they need in order to work through a trust. And this is where we can help you. We understand the average person may not take the initiative to establish a trust on their own. Obviously, most of you listening to this broadcast are not the average person. Since you've been listening to this broadcast for, well, in some cases, many years. All you have to do is make up your mind. And then if you make up your mind, trust in God and just do it. You've heard me say that before. It's my motto. I determine what is the right thing to do. I trust in God and I do it. I take great pains to establish the foundation of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And then I work very hard to make it work. You have to do the same thing. Most people don't have anything offshore. They don't have trusts. They don't have international business corporations. They don't do business offshore. In fact, most people never even take a vacation offshore. Offshore means outside the continental limits of the country. They have what's called an insular mindset. You see, they believe that everything they could ever want is available right in their own backyard. In fact, they isolate themselves from other countries. Very few people, as little as 5% in some countries, even have passports. I would venture that most of the people listening to this broadcast do not have a passport, have never had a passport, have no plans to ever get a passport. Not only do most people physically stay within their own borders, but their idea of traveling to a foreign country is a trip, usually, if we're talking about Americans, to Canada or Tijuana. For example, the Congress and the Internal Revenue Service know they have a captive market of taxpayers because not only do most Americans not think in terms of investing outside the United States, but they are even more horrified at the thought of ever having to live outside of the United States. Their concept of how people live in other countries is colored. Congress could pass legislation that would double the present tax in this country. Whether it's legal and lawful or not, doesn't matter. Most of you keep right on filing and paying anyway, even though most of the people listening to this broadcast know that there is no law that requires it of any citizen living inside the territorial boundaries of any of the several states of the Union who are not employees of the government. You do it because you're afraid. So even if Congress doubled the income tax tomorrow, you would continue to file and pay. They know that, I know that, and you know that, and most Americans would still not even consider leaving. They would just stay, and they would continue to pay, like the sheeple that they are. And that includes most of you. Now, although it's not necessary to leave the United States of America at this particular time, might be a good idea to do that, Americans had better wake up to the fact that their opportunities of retaining their wealth are decreasing rapidly. In fact, your chances of ever gaining and keeping wealth in this country into the future as they cement their new socialist world order. And remember, it is the United States from which all of this is coming from. It's very slim. While at the same time, are increasing rapidly throughout many areas outside of the United States of America. You would be amazed to hear what people who live in other countries think about the United States of America and about us, the citizens who live here. You would be absolutely amazed. And you wouldn't like it. I'll tell you that right now. The consensus is that we're the biggest single group of ignorant people who live upon the face of this earth. And it's a correct consensus of opinion. The days, ladies and gentlemen, of having everything tied up in a neat little package, safe and secure, what we used to call the American dream, is no longer a reality. You can't have it. And Uncle Sam has set about making sure that you can't have it. Most of you think offshore trusts are just for the rich. Although the rich have had trusts for years, that is not the case. Never has been, as a matter of fact. Now that offshore trusts can be started with only a small investment, they are affordable and readily available to the average individual and family, no matter who you are or how much you make, no matter how great or how small your little pile of possessions may be. Many individuals and families who have an offshore trust are not necessarily wealthy, but they are concerned about protecting the assets they have worked hard for. Others use a trust for estate, divorce planning, to run businesses, and they're very successful. But the government, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, the government does not want you to know about the benefits of any kind of a trust, whether it's in this country or offshore. And they go to extreme length to go after and break the trusts that are located in this country. Most of the time, they are successful. They have never been successful at going after and breaking trusts which are offshore in the countries that protect trusts, such as Belize, which right now is the very best place in the world to have a trust. You see, the primary goal of the government, or at least they think it is to appropriate every single dollar they can get their hands on. The fact that they cannot get their hands on money secured in an offshore trust, even if taxes are owed by the taxpayer, is very troublesome to them. They don't like that at all. And if they could force every country to cooperate with them, they would. But fortunately, ladies and gentlemen, they cannot. They can only pass laws that compel the taxpayer to voluntarily disclose the existence of an offshore trust and pay taxes where applicable. But they cannot get their hands on the trust's assets under any circumstances. And if you set the trust up properly, they cannot even compel you to disclose the existence of the trust. For instance, if you are not the settlor, if you are not the protector, if you are not the trustee, and if you are not the beneficiary, there are no laws which can compel you to say even one word about a trust. Period. The fact that the government does not and cannot control the laws of other countries is why more and more citizens are seeking asset protection offshore. Now don't worry, I'm going to teach you how to set it up, so that nobody can make you even say one word about it. And that's it for tonight, folks. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night, and we will do some more of this stuff. In the meantime, take the advice that you're going to hear on this Shuffle Off to Buffalo song. Good night. God bless you all. Annie, Pooh, and Allison, good night. I love you. All my heart and soul. I miss you. I wish you were here or I were there, wherever you're at. May God keep and protect you safe in His loving hands.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Look at your paper. Look at your paper like this. Just look at your paper. Look at them.
All right, here we go. One and two and.
Let's have a luau.